And welcome to Profiles on this St. Patrick's Day weekend. And yes, it wouldn't be Patty's Day without having a Patrick on the line. How are you?
How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, Mr. Patrick Moran. I appreciate you taking some time. We've got...
Thank you, and I appreciate this myself. Thank you very much.
No sweat, man. I know we got a show to talk about that I wanted to plug, but I want to learn a bit about you because I've known you forever, and you're an interesting character to me, in a way. one way to put it, I suppose. Hey, so let's start with you, I guess. Your full name, Patrick what?
Patrick Joseph Moran, born June the 7th, 1975.
And, of course, you grew up in a great little community where, I guess, music has been a part of your life forever.
Yes, yeah. I grew up in Pooch Cove, down in the 335 there, as we call it. And, music was always a big part of my life. I had an older sister who played piano and stuff, and... music was always in the house, whether it be from rock and roll to country to Irish Newfoundland, you know. House was always filled with music, you know.
For sure, yeah. Before we talk about the music side of Patrick Moran, because I know that's a big part of your life and stuff now, but what else are you into? You into books, into movies? What are you into?
I would say my two, well, I'm kind of lucky, I guess. My job and my hobby kind of overlap. Mm-hmm. Anything that's musical, I'm into it. I love, looking into like older instruments and stuff. I just got off the phone with our bass player there from Shani Ganaki and Chipman, mm-hmm. and he had just purchased an old harmony guitar, and we were nerding out on that for about 45 minutes on the phone, and I'm a bit of a collector of kind of old and instruments, and I'm also into I love old cars and stuff too. So. Yeah. Kind of wrench on old cars, and I'm kind of into that a bit too. So between the music now and the toolbox is kind of what keeps me busy, you know.
Let's talk about cars for a minute. Got a favorite car of all time?
Ooh, favorite car of all time. I'm a bit of a Dodge guy to all those, I guess, Chevy and Fords guys out there. I'm sorry. I do like, you know, I guess everybody loves, you know, the 69 Charger. That's the General Lee and stuff like that. That's, you know, it'd be hard to pick just one, I got to say. From week to week, it kind of changes. As I get older, I kind of appreciate them all. I really love the original and unrestored cars that are just, they're getting rarer. And mm-hmm. any car that has a crazy story behind it, too, is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm thinking about now with your fascination in vehicles. And then during the pandemic, you got a chance to play with Shannon and the boys at this drive-in show. Ever pictured that would happen to you?
That was pretty wild, hey? Just the same. Those were crazy times. But, yeah, it was kind of like playing in the old days. I often heard some bandmates, well, I wouldn't call them bandmates, but fellas that were in bands that years ago, apparently they used to have, I think, a band, or maybe it was when they opened the A&W on Kemmett Road. Apparently there was a band played up on the roof. And it kind of reminded me of doing something like that. It was very kind of nostalgic to be kind of playing for like a drive-in or something. It was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I know you're saying you're a bit of a collector of musical instruments and things like that. I know everyone kind of relates to you as a fiddle player, but I mean, you've got a wide range of talent when it comes to playing instruments, songwriting, producing, and all that kind of stuff. You've got your hand in a bit of it all, hey?
Yeah, I was kind of lucky in some ways. I started kind of getting into producing with Shani Ganak some years ago. You know, I was kind of always the guy that was kind of in and out of Shani Ganak, but where myself and Chris Andrews and Mark Hiscock have been more friends than we have kind of business associates, I kind of had that bit of leeway because, of course, I was in the Punters I was a founding member of the Punters forever. And that was kind of, you know, that was my main gig, and then I ended up kind of being with the Irish Descendants. So I used to just play with Shani when I could, but the producing side of it, a couple of the early, I think their first record, I think Gary O'Driscoll produced, mm-hmm. and I do believe, I think their second record was a live record, and I think their third and fourth records I got my hand into producing. And and they were kind of teamed up then with Lyle Drake down from Lyle was a great promoter of music and stuff, and still is. And Lyle gave me a lot of opportunities to do some of these kind of the homebrews and the Hour Songs compilations and all this kind of stuff. So to say, you know, producing is one thing, but when you're producing, you're more like a coach. You just kind of got to wrangle, and wrangling musicians together is like, you know, so that's like herding sheep. So you're more like a coach and try to get them all together and just let them do their thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, you're not coming up with much. Once you get them in the studio and stuff, most, you know, musicians know exactly what they're doing, and you just got to get them to show up on time and make sure to get paid. And that's, and that's pretty much what a producer does, you know?
For sure. Patrick Moran joins us here on VOCM's Profiles. Let's talk a bit about your musical path, because you mentioned a couple of bands you've been involved with. Punters, like obviously, yeah, founding member of that group, Irish Descendants, you played with for a while. But talk us through your musical landscape over your career and kind of where you've hopped around to.
I could start, well, I learned to play fiddle from Kelly Russell. Mm-hmm. And started, my first lesson was in September of 1982. and kind of, you know, and with fiddle and stuff, it took a few years before you could even make it sound anything like a fiddle, I think my first, I played on the Newfoundland and Labrador Folk Festival in August of, I think, 83 was my first kind of gig, and kind of did the kind of festival scene around, and, you know, mom and dad had put you in the car and you'd go play here in St. John's or out to Carbonear or up in Mount Carmel and Holyrood and all those places during the summer. And I used to also play music at the Holiday Inn during the summer. They'd kind of have these bus tours used to come in through, and that's where they'd stay. And as the people were getting on and off the bus and stuff, they'd have me just play fiddle as they walked in and out of the lobby and stuff. And that was kind of where I kind of cut my teeth of learning how to, you know, interact with people and stuff. And you'd go up there and you get, you know, a small amount of money to play, but you get tips and stuff. So you kind of learned how to become a performer or an entertainer as well as just a musician, you know?
For sure. When it comes to the punters, Patrick, I mean, obviously that was a great outfit. You and Larry obviously kicked that off. A bit of a stay, I guess, with Warner and stuff there over there, too. Just talk us through the punters here. It's been pretty formative years for you, right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It started, that came on. We started in 95 with that outfit. We got asked, I think Jason Whalen and Larry Foley got asked to do a benefit at the time, and it was for the endangered pine marten, is what the benefit was. And I think we only had like a 10 or 15 minute slot. And myself and Jason Whalen had gone to high school together, and Larry and Jason Whalen had met, weirdly enough, over in Ireland, and kind of said, you know, if we ever get back to Newfoundland, you know, we'll start a little group maybe, you know. And so when Jason came home, he was kind of the guy who put the punters together, you know. Mm-hmm. He knew Larry, he knew me, so he called me. But anyway, we did the benefit. We did three songs. I think one of them was an instrumental, and I know one of them was Fisherman's Blues, and I think the other one was a Paul Brady song.
Okay.
I think. But that was kind of the start. And that, you know, and next thing, that ball got rolling. It was kind of, I was in the punters, but I didn't even realize it was a band, you know. Like, and it was like, I don't really remember us kind of forming or saying we should do this. It's just, you know, one kind of gig led to another, which led to another, which, and I was in the punters there from, I think, 95 till maybe 2012,
wow.
Like, you know. So it ended up being, you know, the better part of how 20 years or whatever it was, you know.
Yep. And obviously you bounced around a bit with Irish Descendants and Shannon Gannock. Obviously you play fairly regularly with them now. And, you know, it's interesting to me, too, with the bands that you played. And you've got to play in so many different stages, big and small stages. Any favorite venues around the province?
Ooh, like, you know, starting, I got to say, I always enjoy certain gigs, I guess, become traditions and stuff. Like, I always enjoyed, during Christmas and stuff, we play, for instance, just down in the Flat Rock Hall. That holds, you know, 200 people. And, and we kind of started down there when we were, you know, playing just as a local act or just on George Street, and we'd play down there, and we continued to play down there. So, you know, I always kind of looked forward to that. Playing in Corner Brook is always fun, playing in, doing the arts and culture centers in Labrador. There's the, it's the O'Brien Center there, I think, is in Goose Bay, and doing the Lab West ones. They're always interesting, you know, because they don't always get a lot of bands down there, and they're so appreciative when you come through.
Yeah.
Okay, oh my God, so thank you for coming out. You know, it is expensive to get up there and stuff like that. Squid Fest in Holyrood is always a real, you know, that's a riot, that's a great great one too, and George Street is great, and of course the new venue down there with Iceberg Alley is always that's becoming a real treat as well, you know.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's Paddy's Day weekend. A special shout out to all the bartenders and bar staff this weekend. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have a pretty raucous weekend. Talk about some Paddy's Day memories, though, because you probably played a fair amount of stages over this weekend over the years.
Yeah. Oh well, O'Reilly's. The Punters were the first. I think when O'Reilly's first opened, the very first weekend, I think Fergus O'Byrne and Dermot O'Reilly were in the opening kind of slot, or you know, kind of a shared, I wouldn't call them an opener because they're legends, that we should have been opening for them. But the Punters were the first band, full band, to play at O'Reilly's. We played, you know. So I got a lot of memories of a few snowstorms and that, being down to O'Reilly's, ending up having to play a little bit more than we were supposed to because some bands from out of town couldn't get in. And I think it was in Paddy's Day of 2007, we had a lot of snow down.
Yeah.
Almost, I wouldn't say as much as we had just a little while ago here, you know, the past weekend. But I remember, you know, getting drove home by the RNC gave me a run home when they could still do that.
Yeah.
And I think they got me as far as Cody's Fish and Chips there. They used to be open here in Torbay. And he said, man, that's as far as I could take you. And I remember grabbing my fiddle case and literally like throwing it over snowbanks and just kind of walking in the house at whatever time of the 4 o'clock in the morning and kind of going all out of breath and stuff, you know, and not really being dressed for it. But I do remember that St. Patrick's Day for sure, you know.
Yeah, that one's etched in your mind.
Memory.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Patrick and Moran joining us here on Profiles today. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a bit about a new outfit that Patrick's involved with. And of course, he's taken the title name of this, although he's not sitting center stage. I'll ask him about that as well. We'll talk a bit about some of the inspirations over the years. Patrick Moran here on VOCM Profiles. More after this.
Every Saturday is perfect for a night at the cabin. The Cabin Party with Brian O'Connell. Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. on VOCM.
And we're back on Profiles on your VOCM. Greg Smith with Patrick Moran joining us today. And Patrick, I appreciate the time again.
Oh, not a problem, my friend. Not a problem.
It's always great to catch up. And I know you're busy tonight. Show out in Quarter Brook with Shaddy Ganuck. But let's talk a bit about the inspirations over the years. Just before the break, actually, we talked about, you mentioned Dermot O'Reilly and Fergus O'Byrne, the legends around Newfoundland and Labrador. I talked about O'Reilly's and Brenda O'Reilly. It got to be a musical inspiration in her own right. You know, so just talk about some.
Yeah, there's you know, a lot of bands and a lot of musicians now are after cutting their teeth down there for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, back in the days, like I said, when I was playing, whether it be with you know, the early days of Shaddy Ganuck and the Government Rams and the Punters, like O'Reilly's and those groups kind of grew together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like as O'Reilly's developed, the bands developed, you know, as well. So that was a great platform there, you know, to. You know, there was nights, geez, I played at O'Reilly's. I'd be there myself from Wednesday to Sundays. And then, you know, you'd be filling in with some other bands that you don't usually play with very much. You'd be getting calls from, you know, because if people were sick mm-hmm. or, you know, you got fellas coming in from out of town or whatever and they couldn't make it or whatever. A lot of nights you'd be here, you know, you'd be home and come 9 o'clock or 9:30, the phone would be ringing. And it was just like being in the fire hall, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So
someone's stuck. Can you come down and fill in? And you go, sure. You never turn. That's the thing with being a musician, too. You can't, you know, you never turn down work as much as you kind of roll your eyes sometimes and go, geez, I don't want to go at this tonight. But then when you hit the stage, it's just like it's all fun and games. Is great,
for
you know.
Sure. Some of the musical inspirations over the years. I mean, there's been so many greats out of this province, and I mean, you are a fan of many different types of music as well.
Sure.
So some of the bigger ones.
You know, of course, the Sons of Erin, Ryan's Fancy, you know, Harry Hibbs, you know, back to the days of the old Newfoundland Show Band, the Carlton Show Band, you know, grew up listening to all that stuff, you know, on VOCM on Saturday mornings, and then, you know, my dad would break out the old records then on Saturday night, you know, and you'd be listening to all that kind of stuff too, so, you know, all that kind of music then, it was just, it was weird. You didn't look at it as Newfoundland music, you just kind of looked at it as music, and it was just all good stuff, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I know know you got this new outfit, the Patrick Moran Band. I got to finally get a chance to listen to you guys and see you. But the first show, I think, was Christmas time. And I was really surprised that, you know, you didn't go center stage for the band, although it was named after you.
Yes, yeah. That was the center stage thing was later that night, of course, I would be playing fiddle with Shani Ganach. Mm-hmm. So from a production point, and I had sound checked earlier, it was just a lot easier for me to stay where I was due as opposed to move to the center. Now, listen, you know, like, I can be kind of shy too, so not being the center stage, I'm well used to where I'm to. Any band I've always played, and I've always been that kind of stage left, I guess, for me, you know, the stage right looking from the audience, you know?
Yeah.
And that's been my spot. So to kind of get me to move out, I think, yes, for the next show, I think I will move a little bit, you know, to the center, I would think anyway, or I'm going to be forced to.
Before we talk about that show, because I do want to give it a plug, talk about the outfit itself. Who's in the band with you?
We have Marcus Green from Placentia. His brother Stephen Green is also, of course, from Placentia, plays bass. Blair Goss, fantastic guitar player from Spaniards Bay. And we have Michael Davis, Dr. Michael Davis. He's our piano player and does a bit of backup singing. And I've known Michael since he's in. Michael's a fair bit younger than me. I've known him since he's in high school. Fantastic player. And we have Alan Brake from the West Coast on drums. Alan was a guy that I never knew before I started playing with this band. He was recommended to me by Michael Davis, and he's a fantastic drummer, I got to say, and a great guy. You know, it was a real treat. It's a job to kind of get everybody together. So I think I got the artist of two. It's like the story now. The two greens are one, and yeah, Blair Goss is three. Yes, and Alan is four. Michael is five. Yes, and myself. Yeah,
yeah, awesome.
We're six all together. Big outfit to kind of start. But I kind of had envisioned what I kind of sort of wanted. You know.
Yeah.
I find with a lot of groups around, like, you know, I never got the chance really to play with a piano player a lot, only until maybe the last couple of years. I've done some shows with Brian Way, doing some tribute shows, Johnny Cash tributes,
right,
and country tributes, and you know, you forget how much the piano is pretty much the foundation of, you know, most songwriting and songs. And man, does it ever fill up, you know? Does it ever make our jobs a lot easier when you got a piano player?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Patrick Moran here on Soundcheck. Okay, show coming up at Oshie, I think, in a week's time, right? Or 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's March the 30th. Show doors open, I think, at 8, and the show starts 8:30 with, of course, Brad Tuck and Rosemary Lawton. They're the fantastic duo. They're opening for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to hit the stage shortly after their performance. And I think the whole thing wraps up about 11:30. So you can use it as an excuse to stay out, because, or you can say, oh, I can be home before the Easter Bunny shows up, you know.
For sure.
So there's you know, I'm looking forward to playing the venue. I gotta say, it's I've heard great things and that about it, so
yeah.
You know, I can't wait to get down there.
Yeah, it looks like a great spot. Looking forward to it as well. Just for anybody not familiar, I mean, with the band itself, you're gonna have some familiarity with you and some of the stuff they know from over the years, but you guys add in a lot of little spicy classic rock, soft rock, country stuff. It's a nice little blend.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we're kind of enjoying it, and I guess we're just trying to figure out now with a new band, and I guess everybody figures, you know, of what works and what doesn't. So we're kind of in that stage thus far. You know, there's lots of songs and stuff that probably weren't, you know, didn't kind of fit the genre of other groups and stuff I was in and stuff. And so I kind of have taken, I guess, a little, like, you know, your musical influences, you know, between playing with Shani Ganach and the Irish Descendants, of course, and the Punters, and my time, like, with the 8-Track Favorites back in the day. Like, you kind of read the audience, you know. That's the thing. When you're kind of a side guy, you can kind of sit back and you can kind of tell what kind of works and kind of doesn't.
Right.
And I've kind of, you know, been banking all this information for years, you know, to kind of the kind of, you know, use it, I guess, hopefully to my advantage, you know, to get out and, you know, perform some things, you know. And I imagine there's, you know, there's, we're going to have some growing pains, but, you know, and we're doing some original material too. We're currently working on a kind of a single now that's, you know, that we're looking at releasing, kind of, you know, more, you know, it's a little bit of trad in it and a little bit of pop, so I think it'll be appropriate for, you know, whatever, whenever you want to play it, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? I think it's going to be, you know, because, of course, you know, the weekends with, of course, with the Irish Newfoundland show and that, like, mm-hmm. you guys have been, you know, that's is an institution unto itself, you know, there's, that's a, is a, it's an amazing platform for, you know, the average person just to be able to hear, you know, hear music. I think in other places, I don't know if they even have that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're lucky that, you know, you must be bombarded with stuff like that and everything, but at least we know anyway that, you know, you can probably record some music, and if it's sort of in the ballpark, you might have a shot getting it on the radio, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's actually interesting to say, because there isn't very many markets that can do that with the local music scene. Like, you can do it here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and you probably picked up so many different songs and things over the years just kind of from that atmosphere too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing stuff. You know.
Yeah, there's lots of songs, and you know, and I always said a good song is a good song, no matter, you know, no matter what the genre or whatever, you know, you can category, you know, put it in a category, but you know yourself, if you had to write down your top 100 songs, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have everything there.
Yeah.
You can't take it away and say, well, I hate heavy metal, or I often hear people say, oh, you know, I hate Newfoundland music. But gee, you can't really hate Newfoundland music. Like, that's that's a bit broad. Like, there's lots of good songs out there, and like in any, you know, people are saying, you know, the same things about, you know, country or new country, mm-hmm. and it's like, yeah, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of great Newfoundland music out there, and there's lots of bad Newfoundland music, and that's all, you know, your own perspective, and if you like it, you like it, and that's the main thing, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so funny, because things, all these genres too cross over so much as well, and they all inspire each other, you know. You see that with the new country, you still get that little taste of the older style in there, but it all comes from somewhere.
It got to come from somewhere, and I remember too, as a producer, you know, like you would do a song and you might say, well, you know, why don't we put a little bit of electric guitar on this? And one time I was like, oh, no, you can't have electric guitar on that. That's not Irish. You know, it's like, what do you mean? If it fits the song, I don't care if it's a xylophone. Like, you know, if it works for the song, put it on it by. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, if the song is crying out for, as a producer, that's, you know, you're only trying to come up with ideas. And that's what I'm hearing. Like, you know, or if you want, if you want more fiddles or more, you know, whistles or whatever, or, you know, or a tuba, like, if it fits the song, sure, put it on it.
Yes, exactly. I 100% agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, we're up against the end of the show. Patrick Moran here on Soundcheck. Sorry, on Profile. Soundcheck coming up in just a little bit. But Patrick, I will mention the show again at Oshie. It's on March 30th. Tickets are available at tickettide.ca.
And navigate your way through it. And from what I understand, it's fairly easy. It's the same platform that, say, the Shanaganak Christmas tickets were mm-hmm. on, and all, you know, there's other shows, I think at Oshie coming up, I think down there too as well, so it shouldn't be no sweat now for people this day and age to be able to get in, and I think tickets are $25 plus fees or whatever, so it's it'll be a great night of fun, and I know the boys in the band are chomping at the bit to get out and play, so we can't wait to do it.
Awesome. Ticketide.ca. Patrick, thanks for this, buddy. Safe travels the weekend.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Smith. Appreciate it, my friend.